Thank you. Blessing Zulu and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington on Thursday, March 10th, 2016. I'd like to thank you for joining us this Thursday evening live from Washington. This is Ndimiyake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe has abandoned a controversial cultural festival in India amid protests from local environmentalists.
They are wasting my resources which are being generated from the taxpayers, thus increasing poverty. Yet at the same time, the government is advocating to eradicate poverty in Zimbabwe.
Some villagers in the diamond-rich Manicaland province are vowing to continue looking for the gems, even if they're being given a torrid time by state security agents.
Mutunu is that they will continue engaging in illegal activities as long as they are not guaranteed the benefits from diamond sales.
They must only release the people. The most effective is that.
More of that later, and also Zimbabwe today joined the international community in marking World Kidney Day. And Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe is targeting an annual growth rate of between 6 and 10%. These stories and much more coming up. Please stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe has abandoned a controversial cultural festival in India amid protests from local people claiming that delegates will pollute the local environment. Mr. Mugabe's spokesperson, George Charamba, says the president's trip was cut short due to security concerns. But Zimbabweans are not buying this, saying they're shocked by Mr. Mugabe's visit to India when other world leaders appear to have stayed away from the World Culture Festival organized by a local entity. Sri Sri Ravi Shankar of Art of Living, our correspondent in Harare, Patricia Mudadigwa, gives us more on this story.
The president decided to stop attending the event when he was already in that country, and according to presidential spokesperson George Charamba, this move was necessitated by security concerns. In a statement, Charamba said, I quote, "The cancellation follows communication from organizers of the festival acknowledging substantial inadequacies in protocol and security arrangements around the event. A number of leaders slotted for participation, including those from the host country, have also withdrawn their participation. The president is expected home in a couple of days." End quote. Indian Prime Minister Pranab Mukherjee boycotted the event following concerns by environmentalists that the delegates were expected to pollute the local environment. In an informal street survey, Zimbabweans expressed anger over the president's move to attend the event when other nations had sent ministers and low-key delegates to New Delhi for the festival. Harare resident Value Dick said she was shocked by the waste of state resources.
They are wasting my resources which are being generated from the taxpayers, thus increasing poverty. Yet at the same time, the government is advocating to eradicate poverty in Zimbabwe. The government is also failing to take responsibility by misplacing priorities.
Equally furious was Samantha Munyanyiwa, who pointed out that the president's withdrawal from the event showed lack of proper planning in the office of the president.
Shows inadequate planning of the trip itself and a waste of state resources. It also shows that the president himself was ignorant about the event and what its depth, what it was really about. So he just decided to go and find out. And when you see that the president of India has aborted, you also abort. You're just acting like you're being blown by the wind. I think you should have properly planned before taking resources and just going off.
Another Harare resident, Samson Wafuarua, said he was surprised that President Mugabe would fly to India for a cultural event instead of saving funds for buying maize for about 3 million Zimbabweans facing hunger due to the El Nino-induced drought.
You see, the president just flew away to India, even leaving the minister responsible for that ministry back home. What it just means to the Zimbabweans is that the president is just interested in squandering the resources for the nation And that minister who is responsible was just left because of factional wars. So the president, to me, was just out there for a shopping spree, squandering the nation's resources.
Charamba was not available for comment as his mobile phone was not taking incoming calls. Mr. Mugabe was scheduled to be the guest of honor at the event, which is a celebration of peace in multiculturalism. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Responding to President Mugabe's trip, Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF Central Committee member and lawmaker, says Mr. Mugabe went to India after following the needed political and security protocols.
Honestly speaking, at times I really wonder what kind of a people we are. The president has got a full complement of staff who would do all those kinds of appointments and stuff like that, and I'm sure they did all the due diligence. And of course, a situation can change. And when it changes, it is always advisable to then adapt to that change as well. So I don't think there was anything wrong with the president going, and I don't think there's still anything wrong with him and then changing everything after the information that they got from the ground. So really, this shouldn't be an issue at all.
But people, Honorable Chuma, are saying that the president should not in the first place have gone there because some people are sending low-key delegates and, you know, they are saying it's actually a waste of money.
That is why I am saying that the president has got a full office that does all that. And I'm sure when they decided that he must go, they had every reason why they made that decision. So if people have a problem, then maybe they must wait and try and hear from the people that are responsible for organizing those kind of trips. But as far as I'm concerned, what I'm simply saying is that, is it really prudent? Is it really the right way to worry about that?
That was Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF Central Committee member and lawmaker, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. Some villagers in the diamond-rich Manicaland province are vowing to continue looking for the precious gems, even if they're being given a torrid time by state security agents that have reportedly sealed off mining areas following a government order for companies to cease operations after they failed to register on time and agreeing to be part of a state-run diamond mining entity. They claim that illegal diamond mining is the only way of making a livelihood in the province hit hard by an El Nino-induced drought. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo visited Chiadzwa diamond fields and surrounding areas and filed this report.
Villagers facing serious food shortages in Chiadzwa communal lands Muchena, Hot Springs, Tonorai, Chakowa and Bambazonge in Marange area say they will not stop illegal mining activities as they are failing to cater for the needs of their families due to the current drought. They say to make matters worse, they have not benefited from diamond sales ever since foreign and local mining companies started their operations in Manicaland province. Most of the villagers claim that they are not gainfully employed. The diamond mining fields now almost resemble a war zone as villagers are constantly detained by state security agents and mining company security guards who normally arrest and torture them. The villagers claim that some of them, including former workers of some of the shut-down diamond mines, have even been hospitalized following serious beatings by law enforcement agents. Richard Goto, a former worker at one of the closed diamond mining firms, says poverty is driving most people to engage in illegal diamond mining. According to Goto, people caught in the diamond fields are normally given a hard time by the police, members of the Zimbabwe National Army, and the private security guards.
Generally, it's poverty and the economic situation in our country. That's exactly what is leading people to go there. Some of these support unit forces are very rude and rough. They are beating and treating some people roughly, and the way how they are doing it is very unfair.
An illegal miner, Louis Ruizi, says he was recently detained by the police together with 30 other people after they went into a protected mining area.
We were a group of 30 people, 9 men and 21 females. We have caught towards the field, the place called Arabiz. Then the support unit police caught us there to their base, which is in the field. We spent the whole day at the sun, thirsty, but they didn't give us water. They took us there at around past 6 to the diamond base. We made some further punishments of jogging, spending a lot of time doing difficult activities. So then they told us that don't come here again.
Rizzi claims that they were released the following night after being beaten up and tortured by the police.
But we spent the whole night doing those activities, singing, jogging, press-ups, and a lot of things like that.
Unemployed Fungai Mutunu of Mchana village in Chiyadzwa area says illegal diamond mining is the only way of eking out a living.
Yeah, the actual fact is poverty is leading, is the most leading factor, especially this this drought. So the only income is from the field.
Mutunu says state security agents at times set dogs on them, resulting in some villagers suffering serious injuries.
When people are caught, they are being some are being brutally beaten by dogs, taken to the diamond base where the soldiers and the support unit is located.
Mutunu is that they will continue engaging in illegal activities as long as they are not guaranteed the benefits from diamond sales.
They must only release the people. The most effect is that they have to give the people where to mine if necessary. Because once there is no portion to mine, I don't think the problem will end. Because that's the only source of income right now, especially on these drought seasons.
Police refused to comment on the illegal diamond mining activities in Manicaland province. Executives whose firms were forced by the government to stop diamond operations in the region were not reachable for a comment. President Robert Mugabe said last week his government won't reverse its decision to stop operations of the private diamond mining companies, saying Zimbabwe has lost up to $15 billion in diamond revenues. He said the state has only received $2 billion since the companies started operating in Manicaland province a couple of years ago. Independent diamond monitors and opposition parties have over the years warned government that it is losing millions of dollars per month in potential diamond revenue due to lack of transparency in the mining and selling of the gems. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chiyadzwa, this is Lloyd Moyo.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe is targeting an annual growth rate of between 6 and 10% in order to revamp the economy. He says for this to happen, the country must embark on serious policy reforms as agreed under the International Monetary Fund Staff Monitored Program. Our correspondent in Harare, Ivan Chifera, has more.
Speaking at a meeting organized by his ministry and the IMF, Chinamasa said any policy changes would be difficult to undertake, but the country has no option.
Any reform agenda is painful, and I want to acknowledge the road that we've traveled, the journey that we've traveled has been very difficult, and is going to remain difficult.
He said Zimbabwe must pay its debt to the Bretton Woods institutions and mend its relations with international creditors so as to attract new funding to revamp the economy.
We need to make friends. We don't need enemies, especially if those enemies, or if you call them enemies, lend you money.
Visiting IMF head of mission, Domenico Fanica said Zimbabwe has many options to revamp its economy, adding that for this to happen, it must implement reforms now.
The message is that if you don't start the transformation now, when are we going to go? Zimbabwe cannot wait.
Economist Ashok Chakravart echoed the same sentiments, noting that while reforms were critical for the country to move forward, there was a strong resistance to change at all levels.
We have a lot of vested interests within the structure of government which resist the policy reform measures of the government itself. There is the willingness at the top to change the laws, the regulations and policies, but there's massive resistance all the way down, you know, to the local level to bring about this change. So I'm not sure what can be done.
Some of the reforms agreed between Zimbabwe and the IMF include compensation for evicted white commercial farmers, the reduction of the public sector wage bill, and labor reforms. According to the IMF, Zimbabwe has met all quantitative targets and structural benchmarks under the third and final review of the Staff Monitored Program. The IMF board is set to review Zimbabwe's position in May this year. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, This is Ivan Chifera.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, a closer look at yesterday's street march in remembrance of activist Itai Dzamara, abducted 1 year ago. But first, a look at regional and international news. A four-year-old Florida boy accidentally shot his mother hours after she boasted online about his skills with guns. Local police said today that they were investigating how the boy came into possession of the legally owned firearm without his mother's knowledge. Iran said today that its ballistic missile program and the tests it conducted this week do not violate its commitment under a nuclear agreement reached last year with a group of six world powers. Here in the U.S., electoral news, Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders challenged each other's records, particularly on immigration, in a sometimes contentious debate Wednesday night in the southeastern state of Florida. They compete in a primary there and in four other delegate-rich states next Tuesday, with Vermont Senator Sanders trying to build off a surprise win in Michigan and catch the former Secretary of State. And finally... Former Ugandan Prime Minister Amama Mbabazi said Ugandan police yesterday broke into his lawyer's offices and seized computers and documents containing affidavits of witnesses to electoral fraud in the country's February 18th national poll. This is Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thousands of Zimbabweans yesterday staged a street march to commemorate exactly 1 year of the abduction of political activist Itai Dzamara, whose Occupy Africa Unity Square group has been calling for the resignation of President Mugabe. Dzamara is suspected to have been abducted by state security agents near his home and has not been seen or found by police and other law enforcement agents. The government, however, has denied knowledge or involvement in Dzamara's disappearance. Opposition politicians, including MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai, attended the event. He told the gathering that Zimbabwe should play a key role in looking for the pro-democracy activist. However, some political groups were conspicuous by their absence at the street march. Did they boycott the event? Many are asking. For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF member Effort Nkomo and Bekezela Maduma of Zimbabwe People First, led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. Nkomo says his party is against any form of abuse against Zimbabweans.
No one wants to miss a relative or anybody else. But we've had so many of our people, especially from this area. There was an area where people could not be found. Why don't those organizers start with looking for those people?
There is a question, Mr. Maduma, and we know that your party was nowhere to be found too, you know?
Yeah, we did see that, I think, and I saw a response that was given by Maim Juru on how she was not there at the march. I think her sentiments were that she said that the invitation was late and she didn't get the invitation. And if she had got the invitation in time, certainly they would have considered doing something about it and opened it up for the organizers to make sure that next time when they hold such an event, they make sure that the invitation gets to the persons that are targeting to be at the march. But there were a couple of guys from Harare within the party, at low levels of the party, that participated in the march.
And what about your response to what Mr. Nkomo is saying, that people must start by, you know, canvassing for support to look for other people that disappeared.
Yes, it's very true. You know, we've got a lot of people that have disappeared before, and particularly in this region. To the northern region, the new thing that people disappear and so on, it started right, I mean, at the turn of the century and so on. But this side, we've got people dating back to early independence that we don't know where they went to, where they disappeared to. None of them are being mentioned when it comes to issues like that. So to expect cooperation when it is now on one end, not that we are, I'm personally condoning, you know, that, but now that it is a shift to one side and everybody else is forgotten about, it doesn't motivate people to take part in an event like this one. We got people like Narayana who up to now, we don't know where they are, and their disappearance was very tragic, almost similar to Zamara. But none of that is being talked about. It doesn't motivate everybody if it's specific to one person when there's so many people that they face the same situation.
Let's get back to you, Mr. Nkomo. It seems as if it may be strange to see some people in ZANU-PF actually supporting such a cause, isn't it?
We're talking about human beings. Human life, you know, is important because in the eyes of God, we resemble Him. So if a life is lost, it's a life that God created.
But can you imagine ZANU-PF sending people to participate in such matches?
So that's up to the individual, how they look at it. I wouldn't know what is an organization that they would be thinking or they would be suggesting is done. But, you know, on personal level, you know, if a relative is not found, it's a concern to the family. So it should be a concern to everybody. And I'm sure the authorities would be also concerned. So it won't be something strange.
Mr. Matuma, do you think ZANU-PF can actually stage such protests?
No, because we have to tell some of the things as they are. It's impossible. Impossible in the sense that at the disappearance of Zamara, everybody pointed fingers at ZANU-PF and state agents. So to go on and expect that ZANU-PF was going to be part of this march, I mean, it's just far-fetched. And even the way that it was convened and organized by the organizers, they made a mistake that even if they may claim that it was open to everyone, but you can see that there was an element of partisan in it. There was an element of bias towards the MTCT. So automatically it meant that everybody looked at it and said, ah, well, then this is an MTCT event, and nobody would have then interfered. For other opposition parties, they would have viewed it that way. But for ZANU-PF specifically, there's no way ZANU-PF would have taken part in this. It would be demonstrating against themselves because everybody is confident and believes that they know what happens to Zamara.
So what's the way forward, Mr. Nkomo, in terms of stopping these abductions?
Whoever is doing it, it's not a healthy situation.
That was ZANU-PF member Effort Nkomo. You also heard from Bekezela Maduma, a member of Zimbabwe People First, led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. He was speaking in his own personal capacity as a political activist. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. For more details on this and other reports, please visit our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. Zimbabwe today joined the international community in marking World Kidney Day amid concerns over the increasing number of people affected by the non-communicable disease. According to the United Nations, World Kidney Day is a global health awareness campaign focusing on the importance of kidneys and the reduction of the frequency and impact of kidney diseases. This year's theme is Children and the Disease, Move Your Feet. Dr. Obadiah Moyo, chairperson of the Zimbabwe Kidney Foundation and chief executive officer of Chitungwiza Central Hospital, tells Studio 7's Choneso Jani there is need for people to take care of their kidneys.
This is the 11th edition of this World Kidney Day. And as you are aware, the theme this year is kidney disease and children. And this reminds us that we must all think about our kidneys from an early age. And that adult renal disease is actually initiated in childhood. So at Chitungwiza Central Hospital and in Zimbabwe in general, you know, we are not isolated, you know, from the whole rest of the world. There's a huge population, you know, who suffer from some form of kidney damage, you know, and we need to really focus, you know, on raising awareness, you know, about the dangers of kidney disease. You know, so in Zimbabwe, we estimate that we are seeing at least 1,000 new cases of chronic kidney diseases per year, and this encompasses both adults and children. And out of, you know, if I was to talk about Chitungwiza Central Hospital, we do see, you know, a certain amount of children, you know, who come through who have kidney diseases.
I spoke to about two parents, two different women. They indicated they're struggling in terms of funding. How are the costs in terms of treating a child?
Yes, you know, in terms of costings, you know, the government of Zimbabwe has a policy that all under fives and over 65s are treated for free.
That was Dr. Obadiah Moyo, a chairperson of the Zimbabwe Kidney Foundation, speaking with Studio 7's Chioneso Jani. Childline, an organization fighting for the protection of children's rights in Zimbabwe, says cases of child abuse are rising in the country, with more than 12,500 cases reported at their offices last year alone. Childline director Stella Motsi says 65% of these cases were sexual abuse, with most perpetrators being close relatives or friends. This comes at a time when President Robert Mugabe, at his birthday celebration in Mashingo a few weeks ago, castigated men who perpetrated these abuses, saying he was clueless why abusers would target children as young as 3 years old. Motsi tells Studio 7 that her organization has put in place a child helpline, and children facing abuse should feel free to call on 116, which is a free toll helpline.
What I can feedback on behalf of Childline Zimbabwe is the issue of child abuse is constantly on the rise. But what I would also challenge the community or those researchers is to come and actually do my research and find out, is it generally on the rise because more young people are being abused, or is it because people have been sensitized enough? The communities are now more empowered to report abuse. So it could be either of the two. On average, we receive about 50,000 calls a month. But however, these calls are categorized to various categories like sexual abuse, neglect, physical and emotional abuse. But the bulk of these calls, I must say, most of them are what we classify as want to talk. And want to talk is whereby a young person will call and they just want to build a relationship with Childline before they are able to actually report what has been happening to them or the nature of abuse that has been perpetrated on them. So we encourage as much children to call Childline on 116. It's free, open 24/7, 365 days a year, because by building a relationship with us, we know one day they'll be able to tell us what is really happening to them or to their friend next door.
That was the director of Childline, Stella Motsi, speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye from Harare. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today is Women's Roundtable, and our hosts, Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye and Praxedes Jeremiah, will talk with listeners and experts about child sexual abuse in Zimbabwe. Please be sure to call in so you can share your views. Before we go, a quick recap of our top stories today. President Robert Mugabe has abandoned a controversial cultural festival in India amid reports from local environmentalists. Some villagers in the diamond-rich Manicaland province are vowing to continue looking for the precious gems, even if they're being given a torrid time by state security agents. And today, Zimbabwe joined the world in marking World Kidney Day. And also finally, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe is targeting an annual growth rate of between 6% and 10%. And that's our broadcast this evening. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please stand by for